This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Go to 105.3thefan.com/contests. Oh, gentlemen, the time.
Maybe they're operating on West Coast time.
If it's still there.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Register to see a movie with us this Saturday. We're going to see It Chapter 2, and I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Right now, though, it's time for this.
Your attention, please. Ladies and gentlemen. Now batting with baseball buckets, Corey Majors.
Buckets.
Hearing the crowd cheer.
I heard that, too.
Just makes it all better.
It's nice.
Damn, God, that feels good. So good. Thank you.
Stay focused!
Chuck Morgan for doing that for us. Ball one.
Kill him!
Not yet.
Ooh. Oh, that's weird. I just pulled up ESPN.com to go get the Rangers score today, Kevin.
Mm.
It was 10-1.
Yeah.
But there's a picture of naked Michael Thomas.
Oh, no.
And it says, see Michael Thomas and the rest of the 2019 body gallery. No wonder ESPN the magazine's closing down. They just put it on the internet.
That's true. Last issue comes out September 6th, in case you haven't heard.
You are kidding me.
Shut up.
Man, is that breaking news?
I swear to God.
Reggie, had you heard?
Oh, my God.
Do we need to hit the breaking news sounder?
No. No.
How's Sports Illustrated doing?
They switch to once every 2 weeks.
What? That is not good.
By the way, Entertainment Weekly switched to once a month, and it's still going to be called Entertainment Weekly.
This has got to be from the tree huggers, right? Oh, we don't want to waste paper. Let's use electricity. I don't know.
What?
Rangers lost 10-1 today.
I think we need to explore more about what you just
Edison
said.
Volquez got to go out on the mound again and throw some strikes. He gave up 2 earned runs. But he was the opener in today's game, and man, he was fun to watch him go pitch. And Kevin, you'd said you were really happy for him.
Yeah.
And Jared shared that story about him hanging out in the bullpen during spring training, even when he couldn't play anymore.
I mean, he was cool with us too. We chatted with him. So,
yeah. James Paxton absolutely dominated today. 12 strikeouts. Yeah, dude, this dude was really good against the Rangers. He's a hard-throwing left-handed pitcher. I'm trying to figure out how we can steal him.
My guess would be he's got one more year of arbitration. My guess would be somewhere in the range of 11 or 12 million is what he'll get. So 1 year, 11 or 12 million. So a cheap pitcher.
It's still about what Lance Lynn's making. And again, go look at his stats.
Which
over the last
awesome,
4
yeah.
years. He's gotten better and better and better every single year.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you see pitchers do that. They'll be good, 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 and then out of nowhere have a really great season. This dude just continues to grow.
And you imagine that would be why it would be tough to pry him away, right?
Yeah, the Yankees aren't giving up something like that, man, especially when they can have him for cheap in the, fourth spot in their rotation.
Yeah, in a rotation that, if anything, in their team is to its detriment,
their weak spot.
Probably that.
Ball two.
Is there something in the guitar case?
Yeah. I know what it is.
What? My guitar.
I know this one, too. Over the weekend, there was a video of Mets prospects being told they were being called up to the majors. It's always
oh,
great,
yeah.
right?
I haven't seen this yet.
There's another video, though, of a minor leaguer getting called up to the majors, and it might be even better. Seriously, listen, when these guys get that opportunity, it's a really emotional moment for these dudes, and sometimes it's an emotional moment for their coaches. Aaron Barrett is a Harrisburg Senators pitcher.
Oh.
Yeah, Kevin, the government.
Wow.
And his manager, Matt LaCroix, father of Jonathan Lucroy,
doesn't even make any sense.
Got to tell him that he's returning to the majors to play for the Nationals.
I think it's LaCroix.
Okay, LaCroix got a little emotional while breaking the news.
Today, I want to recognize a winner on our team. You've been an inspiration to me, brother. Inspiration to the coaches. And to these players, and it's an honor that I got to manage you, but it's more of an honor to tell you going back to the big leagues.
Let's go!
kind of a cool moment right there,
very
man.
Very cool.
Especially the way the manager set it up by crying in front of all of his men. Now they think less of him for being not that great of a leader. What? Hold on. Is crying okay? Crying's all right?
For something like that, probably, right?
Mm-hmm. No, man, that was really cool. And you could hear it on all the teammates. They're excited for their dude that gets to go back to the major leagues. Because what is the goal? It baffles me to hear people rail on Jesse Holly for not being freaking Jerry Rice. And destroy Mike Bassett for not being Cy Young. You know, like, yeah. you see Tolos so many times go after these guys who made it to that stage. Just getting there was huge.
I didn't think you were good enough. Okay.
That's fine, but I was there.
Yes.
Were you there? I mean, Mickey asked that question all the time.
Were you there?
Were you there? And I think there's not enough credit given to the guy that makes it to that point at sometimes. And that's the feeling. That's the emotion. When you finally realize you're about to go do your thing. That's pretty cool, man. Ball three.
Back together again, huh?
Yeah. Let's play.
Mm-hmm. 13.
You know her, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
13 potential last hoorahs to watch.
Whoa.
There are a bunch of people that could be either via free agency or maybe retirement.
Oh, yeah.
This would be it for them with their team. And there are some players that are like Elvis Andrus. He could opt out. I don't think we've talked about that enough. And maybe, you know, maybe he won't, but
right.
That's still a possibility. Kenley Jansen could opt out. Corey Kluber, he's got a club option. There are a lot of guys that have all these situations going on. But here are in descending order of career war, the guys that could be facing or be out on the field for the last time with their team. Felix Hernandez.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be wrapping up, right?
He passed Christy Mathewson, Hall of Famer Christy Mathewson, for 37th on the all-time strikeout list. And that's not... Is it going to put him in the Hall of Fame? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Felix Hernandez was an absolute blast to watch for a long time. But you're right. He looks like he's kind of hit that point in his career. He says, I don't know if it'll be Seattle or somewhere else, but he wants to play again in 2020. We'll see if this is the last hurrah for the Seattle Mariners. Brett Gardner, outfielder for the Yankees, could move on. He expects to play in 2020, and he hopes it's with the Yankees, but he might not. I don't know. Has that dude been playing since like 2005? Ridiculous.
I won't feel sad to see him go.
Adam Wainwright with the Cardinals. Ryan Zimmerman, first base with the Nationals. Madison Bumgarner.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, because this could be it. I know he made it through the trade deadline, but that doesn't mean that he's secured a position with the team forever because they have not signed a contract for him for the future. This could be it for him. So,
wow.
He's one of the all-time greatest postseason performers.
Yeah,
dude.
He is. He really, really is.
Just, I mean, what about the rest of the season? And Colby just thinks he's a bad person.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Bad teammate. Is he? Because of his wife?
He thinks he's a bad teammate more than anything.
I was going to say, by the way, look up his wife.
Oh, we know.
He's Well, I mean, there may be a reason because he's a horse's ass.
Alex,
he is?
Alex,
yes.
Alex Gordon could be gone from the Royals this year. Anthony Rendon from Nationals.
MVP candidate.
And that dude right there, you know how much John Daniels loves a hitting third baseman.
Yeah.
That dude could be a Ranger next year. So that's a possibility.
That would be awesome.
Jason Kipnis with the Indians. Jose Abreu with the White Sox. Cole Calhoun with the Angels, and Hwen-Jin Ryu.
He's struggled his last couple times out. Makes me think he doesn't want to win.
All right, that's it. I don't want him on this team anymore.
The
I don't
Cy
want good
Young.
Left-handed pitching.
Yeah, Kevin. I mean, he was going to win, and now, I don't know. It's kind of...
Ball four.
Can't you see that we're blinking closed?
I think the accent is what really gives it away.
No, okay. Guys, it's time for all the stats. Kevin, I know how much you love stats.
I do love stats.
We're more than 219,000 games and 3.9 million innings into Major League Baseball. Did you know
that? Wow. I did not. Holy crap.
Yeah, players and teams are starting to do things that have never been done before. And so we found some stats that are pretty outstanding. 1,410 and 1,000. The first number, which was it, Kevin?
1,410.
The number of strikeouts the Astros pitchers have this year.
Oh, yeah. And you just told us the other day, Verlander and Cole first back-to-back 14-plus.
Yeah, that's the most in baseball, by the way. The second number, which was?
1,000.
The second number is the number of strikeouts notched by Astros batters this season.
Oh, wow.
That is the fewest in baseball.
Shut up. So they have the most strikeouts for them and the least strikeouts against them?
Yes. And what have I been saying for many, many years now, Kevin? I want hitters who don't strike out and pitchers who strike people out. That's all I want for my baseball team. And people yelled at me and said, that is not baseball anymore. This is a new era of baseball. I disagree vehemently. And right now, I'm looking at the Astros, and I see a team that everybody thinks is the best team in baseball.
I do believe they're tied for the best record in baseball, too. So.
Yeah, so there you go. Has a team ever led the majors in strikeouts by its pitchers while its hitters led the majors in fewest strikeouts?
No.
Never. Never. And that's why this is wild. Also, zero. This is how many intentional walks Houston has issued this season. Since Major League Baseball began recording stats in 1955, no team has ever gone an entire season without issuing one intentional walk. The closest anybody ever came was last year's Astros with 4.
Wow, so this is just something that they're like,
yes,
this is a thing.
We just don't do that.
Also, zero. This is how many Angels pitchers have reached 100 innings or 20 starts so far this season.
Zero?
Zero. That's absolutely right. Dating back to 1901, no one's ever had zero pitchers reach 100 innings.
Wow.
Only one team has not had a pitcher make at least 20 starts. So that's pretty stupid.
Go Angels.
182.
That's how many games we would have if there's 20 more.
This is Trout's OPS plus entering the week, which is a player's on-base plus slugging percentage adjusted for external factors like ballparks and normalized for the league average. A 182 OPS plus, Kevin, means your offensive performance is 82% better than the league average.
Golly.
That's Mike Trout's freaking great.
Oh, my gosh.
145. It was nice when Juan Soto reached 30-plus homers in his age 20 season, making him the first to do so since
Mike Trout
in 2012.
Of course, if you're not sure, just say Mike Trout. There's a decent chance that you'll get it right.
But right now, 145 is Soto's OPS plus. Ty Cobb had a 145. Mickey Mantle had a 144, and Mel Ott had a 144.
Okay, if you're talking about three of the preeminent Hall of Famers, then
prior to when they were 21, so
that's
Soto,
a pretty good sign.
Soto's on his way to being that kind of guy.
State of the art.
And you know what? I'm gonna save some of these stats for tomorrow night because a lot of these things are freaking shocking.
Man, Mel Ott was really good.
He was really good.
He was a 12-time All-Star. Obviously, he's in the Hall of Fame, so that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, and he also played, was he a winger for the Stars?
No, that was Steve Ott.
Oh, okay.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He's a current assistant coach for the Blues. I hate Steve Ott.
Oh,
the 817, yes, you're correct, and also Vic in Dallas. 817 was first, followed right behind him with Vic in Dallas. That was Desperado.
Desperado, like I said, accent.
Not yet.
Coming up next, do you care if the U.S. is winning or losing competitions that aren't the Olympics? Talk about it right here on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Make sure to go to 105.3thefan.com and check out the podcast page. We are podcasting full shows of the KNC Masterpiece, and I know not everybody gets the opportunity to listen to every single show, but now you can. It's always available to you because we will podcast the entire show. Reggie works hard on that, all right? So make sure that your Reggie's work does not go unnoticed, nor does it go unused. Right, Kevin?
Okay.
All right. So, Reggie, now it's time for you to make sure the people understand your passion.
What?
All right. But right now it's also time to ask about the Olympics, because Olympic season is finally upon us.
What? No. So, but I'm glad you said it like that, because I'm curious, do people care when it's not the Olympics? So, like, Team USA, they had lost the scrimmage or whatever exhibition against Australia to break its 13-year undefeated streak. So, overnight, they defeated Turkey in the FIBA World Cup 93-92 in overtime. That extended their winning streak to 44 in major competitions and put them into the second round. But they needed a foul with 0.1 seconds left in the fourth quarter, four missed free throws by Turkey in overtime,
oof,
and all kinds of help to eke out a victory against a Turkey team that they had beaten, like, I don't know, like 22 times in a row. So this is concerning, and it feels like they're primed to lose soon. So my question is, do people care because it's not the Olympics?
Well, let me ask you this. Would there be an opportunity for LeBron and all them to be like, hey, we're going to swoop in and save the day? Or is that past?
Not at this competition.
Well, I mean, even for the future.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Could they be like, no, you know what? This team isn't good enough to go compete in the Olympics.
Sure.
So we're going to change all that.
Absolutely.
I'm back. Okay. All right. Colby, we're watching this right now, actually.
Yeah,
it's wild that this is actually the highlights are on at this moment. And
somebody said that, like, this will live in Turkish basketball infamy, which I was like, wow, is there that much of a history for that to be a thing?
Oh, my God.
But the thing is, you're only seeing the highlights from overtime when Jason Tatum got hurt. What happened before that was, like, really crazy. And I think Chris Middleton made those free throws. There was a foul called with 0.1 seconds left and the U.S. losing by 2 points. And Jason Tatum made two of his three free throws to force overtime. If it weren't for that foul or like 0.1 seconds,
they lose the game.
The game is over. You lose to Turkey and you still haven't advanced to the second round of the FIBA World Cup.
Do you think that FIBA wanted the U.S. team to be out? Or do you think that they're like, no, we have to call a foul here.
Yeah.
We have to call a foul here.
I don't want to say that because go America.
Right.
But
it's possible.
I mean, you always think it's fishy when there's a foul and the game is almost over, right?
Yes. Every time. Absolutely. Yes.
So
I'm always like, of course they want the Lakers to win this game.
All right. So let me ask you, we'll start here. It's not the Olympics. It's the FIBA World Cup.
Uh-huh.
Do you care?
No. I don't. I'm sorry. I know I'm supposed to have some kind of care. It's sports. It's basketball. It's us. It's the country. It's everything. No. I don't. Because watching just the highlights, it almost seemed to me as though they were on vacation too. Because even though the players may be not the best we can send over there, it's Pop and it's a group of NBA players, right?
Should be good enough to beat anybody.
So it just seemed like they were just coasting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't really care about FIBA.
I heard earlier today a random person say that track is not a sport. Track and field is not a sport.
Oh.
And I disagree with that, like, pretty seriously, because it's the purest sport, right? This guy lines up against this guy, and who's faster? This is exactly what we always started out doing. All right, well, who's stronger? Mm-hmm. Well, who's this? You know, you did it all in elementary school. And so it feels like it's all sports. And I started thinking about your question, Kevin. How often do you pay attention to track and field if it's not the Olympics?
Never.
Never. But as soon as the Olympics hit, you may, and when I was a kid, I did. I found out everything I could about whoever the runner was, Michael Johnson. You know, whoever it was, I found out more about their story, and I got completely invested in it. But during track and field season, which is March.
I don't know.
Nobody knows when track and field season is.
There's multiple seasons. There's like indoor, outdoor.
What are you saying right now? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Okay, Reggie knows when track and field season is.
I wouldn't say all that. Okay. I know that there are seasons.
But yeah, no, so I don't pay enough attention to whenever our Olympic sports aren't in season of Olympics.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. If this was the Olympics, would you care?
Absolutely.
No.
You're about to lose my Olympic gold.
Now, along those lines,
that's my medal count right there.
There's been 19 men's basketball tournaments at the Summer Olympics. How many gold medals do you think the United States has won?
18.
Okay.
Well, okay. There was a few years that we were. I'm going to go less than what Corey said.
Okay, that's wise. There's a couple that you should know to rule off straight away.
So there was the bronze medal year that sent us into Redeem Team.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then there was the silver medal year. Was the silver medal year that sent them into Dream Team, correct?
That was also bronze.
Okay, yeah. So there's at least those two. And before that, we were sending college folks consistently.
So
until we decided to start winning. Did we not win before then?
Oh, yeah. No, we just about always won.
Oh, okay.
So Reggie's right. That's two of them. So the Redeem Team was in 2004. You finished third by defeating Lithuania. And then the one that led to the Dream Team was in 1988. You again finished third and you defeated Australia. Maybe the most famous one is 1972. You finished second, the only silver medal we've ever won in men's basketball, to the Soviet Union on the very, very disputed end of that game where the U.S. was winning 50-49 and they re-ran the play and the clock was all BS'd. And like people of that 1972 team will still tell you, I didn't take the medal. I didn't want the medal because it was bullcrap. And then in 1980, we boycotted the Olympics. So that's the only year that the United States has not won a medal in basketball. But otherwise, we won them all. So 15 of the 19. It is really remarkable to see how the game advanced. So the first Olympics, we defeated Canada in the finals 19-8. Then we beat the Soviet Union 36-25, then France 65-21, then the Soviet Union 89-55. So, like, you see it advance
right
pretty quick. I just thought it was interesting that those are the only 4 years. And one of them, we didn't even participate. And all the other years, we've always won a medal.
Is there even a rival in basketball against the rest of the world? Is there anybody that, like, we look at and we're like, yeah. That's our rival. Because Russia was
maybe
the hockey, right?
Yeah, Spain consistently puts out a pretty solid product. And I think that's because their league domestically, they've put a lot of effort into it. But I think also there's something to be considered when we talk about that. The history in that way is that the U.S. has been a team or a nation that is considered basketball a lot higher domestically than other nations up until relatively recently.
No, I would agree with that. And before that, it was the Soviet Union because 52 gold medal games, Soviets. 56, Soviets. 60, Soviets. 64.
And that goes hand in hand with the whole Cold War.
Oh, absolutely. And why 72 was so bitter. Like, it wouldn't have been the same if you would have lost by 1 point to, like, Finland. You know, like, it was still a hurt and you'd still say BS and all that, but it was different. And then, you know, they boycotted the 80 Olympics, so the Russians boycotted the 84 Olympics that were here in LA. But So, Colby, you said you wouldn't be upset. Even if we sent the pros and we lost. Like, basketball is our sport.
Oh, no, it is our sport.
I guess track and field is
Do you not care about the Olympics?
Not really.
Okay.
And I know, you know, it's not the patriotism or anything. I guess I care about the other sports that are in the Olympics. I'll care at least, you know, like, oh, I'm rooting for the Americans to win. But when the Dream Team first happened,
right,
I was really into the Olympics. And then I watched how there was nobody else that any other country could even think about putting on that court that would be anywhere close to the guys we put out there. And it was, it just made it kind of like a foregone, conclusion, what was going to happen. And to that, because also there wasn't any Dallas Mavericks on the Dream Team, right?
Nope.
You know, because the Dallas Mavericks weren't that good. So
there
the
was
NBA
a future Dallas Maverick on there.
Yeah. But that team was just, it was just really good. And it was just, it was professional athletes playing something that I thought that, you know, you had to be a different style of athlete to push yourself and for your country and blah, 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 and whatever to get there. And there was a bunch of millionaires just running in going, we're going to take these guys' spots and we're going to get the gold medal.
Here's the other thing.
Does that explain any of it?
Yeah, no, I get it. It makes sense. The only time I care whenever it's not the Olympics in these kinds of sports, Kevin, the Women's World Cup. Because the women's team will play in the Olympics, right?
Sure.
But I actually care about the Women's World Cup more than I do whenever they play in the Olympics.
Okay.
But I
can see that.
I also don't care about the Men's World Cup team that much because, I mean, they're
if they were better, do you think you would
probably
care?
So. But yeah, like with the women, it's like, okay, I feel like there's actually something on the line here because this is a good group. They're a really good team. There's really something to play for. So in all of track and field sports and all of Winter Olympic sports, I can say I don't care if it's not the Olympic Games unless it's the Women's World Cup.
So I wanted to throw this out for you, Colby. You know, since you're talking about the Dream Team, I was curious about a couple of things. Everyone points to that game against Angola, the first game they played in the Olympics.
Poor Angola. What'd they do besides be a matchup?
What if I told you there was a worse one? So they beat Angola 116-48. That's a 68-point differential. They actually got together for the Tournament of the Americas, and their first game was against Cuba. Final score, Cuba 57, United States 136.
Yeah.
That is a 79-point differential. But in case you don't remember the Dream Team, who Sports Illustrated said might be the most dominant squad ever put together, I would find it hard to disagree with that. They defeated Angola by 68, Croatia by 33, Germany by 43, Brazil by 44, Spain by 41, Puerto Rico by 38, Lithuania in the semifinals, mind you, by 51 points. In their rematch against Croatia, they won by 32. And keep in mind, they clearly eased up
right
at the end of a lot of these games.
So are we going to win the Olympic gold or not?
I mean, I would say we're not going to win the FIBA, but I think that's going to force people back into it. And they're like, no, you got to play in FIBA to be in the Olympics.
Like MJ?
Oh, well, probably. I mean, he'd probably make the team with this roster.
Jeez.
But the Olympics are going to be in summer 2020. And the word was you had to participate in FIBA to be up for consideration for the Olympics.
Damn it.
I'm willing to wager that stance changes pretty effing quick.
So that they can get the American spirit or the American superstars.
Dude, when you're on the cusp of losing to Turkey and, like, let's say you finish fourth at the FIBA World Cup, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, Anthony Davis or then healthy Kevin Durant or Kawhi or even LeBron or whoever says, hey, I would like to join your squad, you're going to be like, pass. That's not going to happen.
No.
Look, I like Kemba Walker as much as the next person, but he does not carry the cachet to be like, I do not want Kevin Durant
on
this
roster.
Well,
even still, like, internationally, wouldn't you rather have those superstars, too? Not just because, like, who...
Quite frankly, I don't understand why we ruled out Carmelo, because Carmelo on the international stage is a whole different thing that works for some reason.
Why?
I don't know.
Why is he the greatest international player?
I don't know.
Is there a way that we can make the international league more important so that Carmelo can have a revitalization of his career?
Time to go play basketball with Stephon Marbury.
Oh, no. He's, I think
Starbury.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, just got time for one more thing right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. It is time to end the night, gentlemen. And tonight, we are young. But we'll also enjoy partying and stuff. All right, so let's do this thing. Hit it. Are y'all ready for information on Zeke?
Yes.
I mean, you have some?
I have tweets from Jane Slater, Clarence Hill, Mike Leslie, all of the people that are reporting on this.
This is going to anger me. Mm-hmm. This is just going to be like, oh. Happening soon.
From Mike Leslie, as of 19 minutes ago, Cowboys front office source say talks with Ezekiel Elliott's agent Rocky Arsenault were done for the night around 10:45. No deal yet. Back to work in the AM. Jane Slater, I can confirm the two sides talked tonight. As of 12 a.m., no deal reached. She'll be live from the Star in Frisco all day tomorrow. By the way, team meetings start at 8:15. Garrett has his press conference at 10:35. You can hear that right here on 105.3 The Fan. Practice at 11:15.
Okay.
And then Clarence Hill was asked, what's taking so long with Zeke tonight? He says, still dealing with a few minor, and that's, he just left it at that, just a few minor. That's kind of weird. But then he added, somebody said, when is Zeke deal going to finalize? And Clarence Hill said, Wednesday. So there you go, Kevin. There is your report.
That's today.
It will finalize Wednesday, which you're right, Colby, is today, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe it.
Would you like to admit that today is the day called Wednesday?
Hell no. I do not agree to that, and I also do not agree that the deal will be done Wednesday.
What do you mean?
Man, because that's what I heard again. This is what we should be doing. Let's see, going back to last Saturday, we are on day 12 of Zeke Watch, it's done. This is day 12 that at least somebody in the media has said the deal is done. But it's not.
But we've been on Zeke Watch since March?
No,
April?
That's true. I'm just saying this is at least the 12th straight day of somebody telling me it was either done or it was going to be done that day. And it's still not done. And once it's done and they're sitting there and they're like, we did agree to the contract, then fine. Until then, shut up. If your information, I'm sorry, I like some of those people that you listed, but if your information is maybe soon, shut up. That is a worthless tweet, and if you retweet it, you're a bad person.
I'm going to retweet all of it
right now.
You're
a bad person.
Why?
Right,
I'm a bad person for retweeting. I like to retweet.
There's Greg Norman's butt.
Why are you showing me naked Greg Norman?
Because you're a bad person, and you angered me.
Does that mean you're looking at the ESPN body issue?
I'm trying to flip through the people I don't want to see.
Sources tell me, Kevin, that a deal is imminent.
What, on ESPN the magazine?
Yeah, their deal is imminent is that they're bankrupt.
What do you, hold on. Hey, hold on. We need to spend the next 15-ish minutes.
We don't.
Talking about Colby's sources.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just say you have a source. Nobody knows.
I have sources.
Like we've already heard that. I guarantee you.
You just said it.
Yes.
But I guarantee you, you've heard from somebody in the last week and a half that doesn't have a real source. But I got a source.
Not at this station, though.
I didn't say that.
This station always has sources.
Perhaps. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of irresponsible people out there.
Dude, Michael Thomas looks yoked, by the way. I'm just saying. Michael Thomas looks strong.
There's Karl-Anthony Towns.
All right, back to you.
Guys, one more thing. You come here for boxing news. I bring you the biggest boxing news of the day, perhaps the year. YouTube stars KSI and Logan Paul are set for a boxing rematch, but this time it's real. They fought, I don't know, a couple months ago. They both have about 20 million YouTube subscribers. They fought a couple months ago, but it was stupid. It was like an amateur fight, and they had headgear on and blah, 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 blah. This time, it's going to take place in Los Angeles, in the Staples Center on DAZN, November 9th. No headgear.
That's that pizza thing, right?
That's the Pazone. This is DAZN. Will cost you about the same as the Pazone, but only once a month. So they're going to fight on DAZN, and that's going to be a thing. It's going to be a real pro fight, and I'm willing to bet that people fill it up.
Did you see Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe?
I did. Rapinoe? Sue Bird just got hurt, too, I think.
Oh, no, not again. That's ruining Reggie's bet for the season.
Logan Paul's managers lied and said the first fight was the largest live pay-per-view sports event in the history of the internet. No, it wasn't. So there's that.
Guys, one more thing. I like to go ahead and bring to you when I see articles of stupidity that's going to possibly end up bringing about the end of the world.
Okay.
And I have found another article
that
is quoting some things that you should all be scared.
Is it the asteroid?
No, this is Adam Lothar and Curtis McGiffin.
Kurt Loder.
No. Lothar.
Zeke is in this?
No. So
God, he's so mad.
They are part of the experts that suggest planning to the U.S. Nuclear Command. And in a written proposal, these guys have said that America needs a, quote, dead hand on the trigger.
What does that mean? Like, no hand at all?
No, just one
dead hand.
One that doesn't have to use any kind of emotions in its sense.
Ooh, I could be me.
Almost.
I'm dead inside.
They're wanting to have an AI in control
of the
U.S.'s hypersonic missiles, stealth cruise missiles, and weaponized artificial intelligence that will be in control of all nuclear payloads.
These people are terrible, and they need to shut up. No, no, no.
There's probably not a chance that anybody listens, but these guys are on the board of people that this group does listen to, and they have made this proposal.
No.
So, in case anybody wants the whole, I don't know, HAL 9000 thing to happen.
I'm afraid I can't do that, Dave.
I mean, all right, here's the deal. You just tell the AI not to kill us. You just program it.
You never seen a movie, Corey? That only works at the beginning.
If you program it right, it won't screw things up.
Wait, it's artificial intelligence.
Right.
It learns on its own.
HAL 9000 sang a song.
What was the song?
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer. And then he started to lose all his brain functions.
So
then what?
Well, I mean, he tried to kill the main character, and so the main character had to open up all the Coke can-looking things and disable his memory. True story.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Saw it on a documentary.
Yeah.
So anyway, so in case you're wondering how another possible way that we all could just go out in a big fireball.
This is a
fireball,
terrible idea.
This is it.
I just want to point out, Greg Norman.
Are you looking at his ass?
It's in fantastic shape.
You are currently, right now,
because
on
I
the
showed
radio.
Him that picture.
I'm not even looking at his butt. It's his abs. Like, this dude is in great shape for a 70. How old is Greg Norman?
I don't know. I saw that he said he had 13 surgeries.
If he's not 70, then his butt is lying. But even still, like,
what
he's in fantastic shape.
Are you telling me what you're looking at currently looks like a 70-year-old man's ass?
Yes. Okay.
But an impressive one.
Yeah, I mean, I want to point out that part of it. Like, okay. It's a nice one. All right. No, hold on. His butt's actually not that nice. It's the rest of the body that really stands out. Guys, one
Greg
more
Norman
thing.
Greg Norman is 64.
Holy crap. Are you serious?
Correct.
He looks so old.
He was out in the sun a lot.
Even his ass?
He's the shark.
Louisiana Lafayette is willing to do whatever it's able to do to help the head coach of its next opponent do his job. The Raging Cajuns play host to Independent Liberty on Saturday night. The
Bad
Flames, the Liberty Flames, Kevin. They have a first-year head coach. You know who it is?
Yeah. Well, is it their head coach, or are they the ones who brought in Briles' kid, or is
no,
that?
That's no,
they
Oklahoma
have,
has.
They have.
Okay. No, that's not Oklahoma.
Liberty brought
Florida
in their
State
AD then.
No,
from
Liberty
Baylor.
Has
Hugh Freeze.
Hugh Freeze.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Hugh Freeze's situation?
He also did bad.
God,
things.
He had a problem with
Mr. Hooker's
Ole Miss.
On the work line.
God, Liberty is the worst. And isn't Liberty supposed to be like a Christian school?
One would think.
Yeah, but it was just a phone situation.
Yes, Ian McCaw is the athletic director of Liberty. That was the athletic director for Baylor. So they brought in somebody who allowed a rape culture and another one who got prostitutes for kids.
Kevin.
Way to go, Liberty. Sorry.
Hugh Freeze is recovering from August back surgery, complicated by a staph infection in his back. All right? Mm. And he coached Liberty's season opener, a 24-0 loss to Syracuse, from a hospital bed that was moved into the stadium's press box coaching booth in the Lynchburg, Virginia stadium. They were like, hey, we're going to wheel this bed. Can you imagine wheeling this bed? They're like, hey, we're going to put it in a box up here in Virginia somewhere. Just, hey, everybody's hanging out and everything. And after the game, he was doing his interview while drinking a Miller Lite. Anyway, that's all I wanted to talk about, Hugh Freeze.
I hope Liberty loses every game until both of those two are gone.
Dude, you were so upset about the hirings that you couldn't enjoy the humor of him coaching a football game from a hospital bed that was wheeled up to one of the coaching booths.
Maybe it should be a prison cell.
And one of the best parts is, like, at the end of the game, you know how coaches typically congratulate each other? Hugh Freeze is obviously up in the booth, but he gives the camera
a nice big
thumbs up from up in the press box, and it looked hilarious.
Anyway, I just thought it was funny.
Guys.
Thanks for laughing with me, Reggie.
One more thing.
I'm just laughing at him.
This is an equally sad story. Chris Jericho on Saturday became the first ever AEW world champion. He has already lost the belt.
Oh, no.
This is sad.
So, I don't know. This story sounds a little fishy. So, Chris Jericho, supposedly, he went to Longhorn Steakhouse, and he was in a rented limo. And he sent the limo driver back to the airport because he took the wrong luggage. And then he went back, returned the luggage, and when he came back, Chris Jericho had left the belt in the limo, and he came back with the proper luggage, but also without the belt. So the thought, of course, would be that the limo driver took it. That was my initial thought.
Mm-hmm.
And they said when the driver picked Chris Jericho back up, the belt was missing. Officers were called to the scene, and a full investigation was launched. They searched the limousine and the airport, but neither found the belt. Chris Jericho confirmed this today on Instagram. He said less than 24 hours after he became the first AEW championship, some lowlife scumbag committed grand larceny and robbed me of the AEW title. Now, this is really interesting because this is like an upstart program and they're financed by the son of the owner of the Jaguars. Well, they're going to hit national TV in about a month. So, time to remake that belt.
You're damn right. Or it turns out to be a whole thing and it's a twist and some other wrestler stole
it. You think
it
could be part of the story?
Maybe.
Man, you are going to be facing some legitimate, like, fines or maybe jail time. That is filing a false police report.
Well, you know, or you let them in on it.
Ooh. And this is all part of the bit. Wow.
Maybe so. Guys, one more thing. Let's go to South Africa,
where Connie Halliwell, he's a pastor from Australia. He was out doing a little spear fishing, scuba diving, and he was underwater in his scuba gear with his spear gun, and he was actually trying to pick up some fishing sinkers that he'd put in.
Okay.
While he was doing that, his spear gun fell off of his back.
Oh, no.
And once it hit a certain, rock formation, what have you, it goes off. It goes off and it hits him in the cheekbone, goes behind his eyes, comes out of his temple on the other side without touching his brain, eyes, or anything that could put him down.
You'd be afraid to take it out, right?
He was on the beach for an hour and 15 minutes waiting for paramedics to show up. One of the locals came over with a grinder and cut off part of the spear so it wouldn't be so heavy and keep rocking up in case it went up to tilt into his brain.
God.
Picture is at
Colby 105.3. I kind of don't want to see it. Oh, I looked. I should not have looked.
Oh,
it was worse than that one person we saw on the body issue.
Dude barely survived, but he did survive. He'll make a full recovery and everything's fine.
Man, you can win every tough story from here on out.
Shot myself in the face with a spear gun.
We're the KNC Masterpiece, Mark that, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Make sure you roll back with us tomorrow. We'll be on once again after Rangers-Yankees. Probably get started about 9 p.m. So make sure you tune in KNC right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Goodnight, Kevin.
Whiskey.
Go get you some of that game on your face.
What?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.